Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
So far, we've got a scoreless tie. Shots 28-27 in favor of the Sharks, and a great duel between Vitek Vanecek in nets for the Sharks. And here come the Ducks, and they shoot, they score! No sooner do I say that it's a goaltender's duel, and Anaheim's Isaac Lundestrom coming down the left wing side beats Vanecek to put the Ducks on the board. And it is 1-0 Anaheim.
I thought it was a really good hockey game tonight. I think to watch this, what the NHL is all about, you know, two teams giving it all they got, and, you know, came down to one player, two plays at the end. And yeah, we just got to learn how to win. That's the biggest thing that the takeaway from you know, not only these last couple of days, but also the last 2 years, is when we were in these situations in the last 2 years, even we haven't learned how to win, you know, hockey games, and we will. I think there were a lot of good things in these first two games, and we're going to stay on the gas pedal, and we're going to work hard in practice. But I'm positive, because I thought that we've shown a lot of good things these first two games.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? Sunday in the fall. It's been beautiful weather the last couple days after we went from a heat wave. But you want to know what my big takeaway is out of last night?
I'm positive, because I thought that we've shown a lot of good things these first two games.
Nico Sturm was the man who spoke out after the Sharks lost their first five games of the 2022-2023 season, and then they won their next game. And there were various points during the 23-24 season in which Nico Sturm spoke out and gave, like he did every time he speaks with the media, very eloquent and very expansive answers, saying exactly what he thought was going on with the team. But he did not have the word positive in his answers. He did not have the overall vibe of things are going the way that I want them to go, in light of two difficult finishes when all is said and done. I mean, this is a team right now that is still learning how to win. Nico Sturm acknowledged as much, and I don't think the Sharks are a complete product in any way, shape, or form, but right now they are learning how to win, and they are still a team in process, but they are not that complete process as of yet. But again, Nico Sturm applying positivity to that, I think overall is a very positive takeaway, at least as far as I am concerned, because when you look at where the Sharks were 2 years ago, or you look where they were 1 year ago versus where they are now, they are significantly better in terms of their overall talent on the roster. When you have Will Smith out there looking like a much more impactful player from game one to game two, when Tyler Toffoli keeps on being a very much active playmaker and involved in the offensive product and defensive product, as there were a couple nice plays that he made back-checking as well, but Tyler Toffoli looks exactly as advertised. When you have Fabian Zetterlund, you got to take his goal to a frame-by-frame review to figure out if he was offside. When you've got Vitek Vanecek making the big saves, I mean, you just go down the list. So much of what San Jose did over the course of that game, in my opinion, was a very positive product, even though they were not putting the puck in the back of the net. You've got to give a lot of credit to Anaheim on the other side and their netminder for denying the Sharks on a number of what looked like really good opportunities. I know the Sharks didn't have a high number of grade A's late in the game, but at the same time, your goalie was keeping you in the game. Your defense was keeping you in the game. Your special teams, particularly your PK, was keeping you in the game. And as a team that has an incredible amount of turnover from 1 year to the next, you are looking at a much improved product, at least in my opinion. And I know some of you can say that, well, Ted, the Ducks were only a 27-win team last year. You should be able to beat a 27-win team on your own ice. But, I will point to the fact that the Ducks are a little bit further ahead of the Sharks in their own rebuild. Does that mean that this is an excuse that the Sharks should have won Not specifically, but I mean, I would have preferred that the Sharks won if that's the angle we're looking at. And I would like to think that when we get later in the year, that's where the Sharks will be. But, you know, I talked to Alexis Downey of Duckstream earlier in the season, and she talked a lot about where the Ducks were in their rebuild. And she talked a lot about Pat Verbeek since he's come in. And, you know, he did say in the offseason that they were a little bit away from being contenders and getting to the playoffs, but their little bit away is probably a little bit closer than where the Sharks are right now. You'd love for the Sharks by the end of the year to be able to beat Anaheim on their own ice, and I'm sure that opportunity will come, and they will be able to beat Anaheim at home. At least that's how I think it'll work its way out. But right now, this is a Sharks team with a great amount of turnover that is learning each other. There was a lot that I liked out of this game. You could tell that there was a difference between the Sharks on Thursday night with Macklin Celebrini on the ice and in game two without Macklin Celebrini on the ice. I don't mean to bury the lead for those of you that were not listening to the buildup yesterday or any of our pregame coverage, but Macklin Celebrini is out with a lower body injury. Many sources are saying that is related to a hip injury. He did get placed on IR. He is going to be out at least a week and is considered quote unquote week to week based on the updates and reporting that I saw from Curtis Pashelka and Sheng Peng. So that is not ideal, but I also think that the Sharks right now are playing and building for the future, a large amount of which revolves around Macklin Celebrini. So yes, I know there were many of you who were disappointed that Macklin did not play last night, or you're sad that he got hurt, or you're frustrated that the Sharks are dealing with this. And yes, I will validate all of that. And I saw one story on the subreddit where a guy had driven up from college in Santa Barbara after buying tickets on his birthday, and then the news came out that morning and they were crushed. And that's completely valid and understandable. Macklin Celebrini, for a guy who has played one game in the NHL, is already a star in this league, and he completely validated everyone's high regard for him with game one having a goal and an assist. But like I said, Macklin Celebrini is the future. If you do anything to jeopardize the future, then this has all been for naught. Which isn't to say they're not playing for the here and now, because of course they are, but playing for the here and now is to play for the future. And Macklin Celebrini needs to be healthy for that future. So yes, frustrating that he was not a part of the game, frustrating that he's not out there on the ice, and you can immediately tell the difference between that version of the Sharks and the one that we saw last night. But Macklin Celebrini is, again, the future. So a lot of things went into play in last night's game. Let's start out with Vitek Vanacek, who I thought played a very, very nice game, making big stops, only let one in. There is no way that for the rest of the Sharks' existence that if they only put one in the, or if they only allow one through, that they should not be able to get a win. Now, this is a night in which they got blanked after they scored four goals in game one. It was a very hard-fought, tough-nosed hockey game. But at the same time, you've got to be able to put more than one in the back of the net. You've got to give Vitek Vanacek more goal support. And as I said during NBC Sports pre- and post-game live coverage last night, you know, it reminded me a little bit of what we saw from Mackenzie Blackwood in game two of the season a year ago, which was Mackenzie's debut for the San Jose Sharks. And you would have liked to have seen more offensive support. That was a game that the Sharks lost eventually in a shootout, and they only got a point out of it. But right now, Vitek Vanacek showed you that he is healthy, and that is the biggest takeaway for me. You need him to be healthy to be a part of this team throughout the entirety of the season. In my opinion, when Vitek Vanacek is healthy, he's a really, really good netminder. If you look at his stats before with Washington and New Jersey, this was a 908 save percentage guy, a 911 save percentage guy, a mid-2 goals against average. And you know what? He was better than that last night. I believe his save percentage was like 966, something to that effect. He was, you know, only on the hook for the one. And even then, that's a play the Sharks probably want back. And I know there's some argument of whether or not Will Smith overcommitted and chased the puck on that play. But, you know, he is learning. But, you know, if you're looking at your other goalie, your part two of your two-man tandem for the first time in Teal, he was great. He did his job, so I feel good about the Sharks goalie tandem up to this point. The goalies are not the problem. Now, beyond that, in terms of positives, before I get to some of the quote-unquote problems, the Sharks penalty kill, 6-for-6 to start the year. Very small sample size. Not going to deny that in the slightest, but the effort that you're seeing out there on the ice. The penalty kill is not as sexy as the power play. It is time for you to put your nose to the grindstone and go out there and work as hard as you can and, you know, make yourself feel like you're going to puke between the time you start your time on the ice and by the time you get off the ice. That's what the penalty kill is all about. It's about who wants it more. And I think that, in my opinion, watching that team play on the kill last night, they wanted it. I won't say they quote unquote wanted it more, but they're giving the impression that they wanted it more. They played really hard. They put themselves in good positions. They did good things to get the puck out of their own end. They made life difficult on Anaheim when they had the man advantage. And that's exactly what you want out of your kill. When you're a man down, you got to show that your battle, that your will, that when you are put to the acid test of war, you're going to be able to come up with a high caliber performance. And the Sharks penalty kill did just that. I know it's only two games, but you have to build on something early on in a season in which you're still a team that is in a rebuild. It doesn't mean that you are going to be able to turn that into being the top penalty kill in the league, but it's just showing that, hey, we may not be an offensive juggernaut right now. We may not be a team that is cohesive and collectively together because there's an incredible amount of turnover on this roster and these guys don't all know each other perfectly yet out there on the ice. But all of us as individuals can give a very high level effort, and you can end up with that high level effort at some point sooner rather than later turning into a win. And I think that is what the Sharks are trying to do right now. They're trying to play hard, and I think they are playing hard in the midst of what I would call a learning experience, because the Sharks are still learning on the go. Will Smith is still learning on the go. He is still figuring out his game. But my word, if you watch the way that he competed in game two, not that he wasn't competing in game one, but he was much more comfortable out there on the ice. He was faster to the puck. He was faster to get into open spaces. He was more decisive. He was more aggressive. He was more active. He was just more. There was more Will Smith on the ice in game two than there was in game number one. I believe I saw a metric that somebody posted that said, oh, you know, by this, this, and this, he was the worst player on the ice. I do not agree with that in the slightest. I go by the eye test. Were there mistakes? Oh, of course. He's a young player. This is his second NHL game, and he's 19 years old. But at the same time, when I watched Will Smith throughout the course of that game, I thought to myself, you know what? He looks pretty good. He looks like he's getting comfortable out there on the ice in a real hurry. And I see a future very, very shortly in which Will Smith is an impactful player in the NHL. Not everybody's going to come in and be a star in game number one like Macklin Celebrini. Macklin Celebrini was the first overall pick for a reason. He plays at a higher level at this point of his career. That doesn't mean that I think that Will Smith is going to surpass him. That also doesn't mean that I think that Will Smith is light years behind where Macklin Celebrini is. No, Macklin Celebrini just came in a little bit of a higher quality product. Will Smith, though, has shown me through two games in the NHL that he has the ability to be an impact player in short order. Now, whether or not he will become an impact player in short order, I can't tell you 100%. It takes time for everyone. It took time for William Eklund. There were some people who were concerned who was not as good as they hoped he was going to be. And then through the final half of last year, especially the final third, William Eklund was a star player in the NHL on the worst team in the NHL. And I don't mean that he was the best player on a bad team. I mean, he was playing like a star in the NHL, and that was happening while he was on a very bad team. And I think we're going to see that from Will Smith. I think we're going to continue to see that from a William Eklund. I think we're going to see that continually from, you know, Macklin Celebrini, from, you know, go down the list. The Sharks have star players. The Sharks have talent. They are not collectively across the board as good as some teams in the NHL, but this is a product and a collective group that I think will only go up from here. And I know that the comeback to that is, well, Ted, they started off 0-2 2 years ago, and they started off 0-2 1 year ago, and now they're 0-2 this year. So what is the main difference with this team than those two previous teams? And I would say it is the fact that they are just a more talented team than they were 1 and 2 years ago. And that, to me, will allow them to take steps in the right direction to be a competitive, consistently winning team by the time we get to the end of the year. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't have more than, you know, 30 wins, or, you know, I've been predicting in the range of 30 to 35 wins. 35 is kind of my positive end of it. I think they'll get there, but it does take time. Not everything in the NHL is going to be easy. Not everything in the NHL is going to come automatically. And just because the Sharks have one of the best prospect pools in the NHL does not mean that that just turns overnight and suddenly all those prospects are studs in the NHL. Mike Greer has been very clear about wanting these guys to not skip steps as a team. and not be a product that feels like it is in a rush. Right now, the Sharks are playing it the right way, in my opinion, and that means that they are going to be a team that is on the rise over time. This isn't going to happen overnight until you get to that point where the Sharks are collectively good as a group, and then I think it's all going to click. It all slots into pace, and suddenly they are going to be winning games with greater consistency. But I don't think that's this year. I do think they will win with greater frequency this year, but I don't think they're at the point where just every night in the NHL, they're going to be at a chance to win. I think that's part of that timeline to where you have to build, grow, foster all these young players. You'll get there eventually. It's just not here right now. And I know that there's a relative impatience because the Sharks haven't been in the postseason since the 2018-2019 season, the spring of 2019. And you've dealt with some bad hockey over the last couple of years, but you know, look at the way it's paid off. You've got William Eklund, you've got Fabian Zetterlund, you've got Macklin Celebrini, you have got a player like, you know, Will Smith, you've got Colin Graf, you've got Quentin Musty, you've got Sam Dickinson, you've got Yaroslav Oskarov, who, by the way, last night got a shutout in his Barracuda debut and made some phenomenal saves, and that's a good problem to have, by the way, if your stud prospect comes in and dominates in game one of the AHL. We have heard, for the Barracuda, I should say, but we have heard, you know, many, many times, people like Joe Thornton, people like Mike Greer, just guys who know the NHL inside and out, who say, you know, the NHL is not a developmental league. You want to be dominating at the AHL level before you come up to the NHL. Well, guess what? If you get a shutout performance in game one, yeah, that sounds like dominance. So hopefully the Sharks goalie tandem at some point or another will turn into what I would perceive as a three-headed monster, and we'll get to see Askarov up here with San Jose, but there is no rush. Just like with Macklin Celebrini, there is no rush. There's nothing that says you need to get this all ready tomorrow because you're not playing for this year specifically. Like, you want to be better this year. You want to be competitive. You want to give yourself a chance to win, but you also know that it's not about getting in the playoffs and winning the Stanley Cup this year. If it happens, hell, I'll love it. It's just not the realistic outcome from this year. The realistic outcome from this year is to be a better team than you were 1 year ago. If you are a better team than you were 1 year ago, that means that you did your job as a GM. That means you did your job as a head coach. That means you did your job as a player on the Sharks team. And improvement from one game to the next, we saw it. Now we're going to start getting into the longer term. Week two of the San Jose Sharks, as they get into their next set of games in the first road trip, what are they going to be able to do? Are they going to show improvement from the first two games? Now, I know it's not always linear. You're not going to see direct improvement from one game to the next, but you want to see if some of the mistakes are corrected. You want to see if they play things in certain situational hockey, if they do a little bit better. So that's what we'll be looking for in Dallas and Chicago. But we will be watching to see if the Sharks, over the entirety of the season, are turning into a better product, if they're learning Ryan Warsawski's message, if they are learning everything that we're watching the team bring in and give themselves a chance to win. That is the main thing that we're trying to figure out right now. Can they figure out what's being asked of them? And even though they're not as good as other teams in the NHL, can they put that hard work on display and start to rack up a couple more wins? And again, it's not about being one of the best teams in the NHL this year. It's about being an improved team over time. All right, I want to get into some of that post-game reaction. Let's get a little more from the always thoughtful Nico Sturm talking about making SAP Center a difficult place for the opposition to come into.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they're going to leave thinking it was an easy game. I thought we battled hard. I think we had almost 30 shots, right? Something that we haven't also accomplished in a long time. We got outshot quite a bit these last 2 years. I thought PK was excellent today. Guys blocking shots, guys skating hard. We had our chances. We had our power play opportunities. We had plenty of chances 5-on-5. But again, we got to learn how to put teams away, and I think we will. Yeah.
And Nico Sturm, again, he's always honest and maybe to a fault, but I think he sees that this is still a team that is learning. But as we talked about earlier, he had more of a positive disposition when talking about this team. He had more of a hopeful aspect about his commentary than he did in the past couple of seasons. And I think that Nico sees that they are not that far off from figuring out. Last night was a hard-fought game. Like, the Sharks were in it every step of the way. They did not wilt. They rose to the challenge on several occasions. And even though their offense was not clicking, Their PK was doing its job, and their netminder was doing their job. There was a lot of hustle out there. There was some great team defense. There was some great individual defense, especially backchecking. You saw guys getting in with their sticks, poking the puck away, you know, not taking bad penalties, even though I thought some interesting calls were made at times that I didn't necessarily agree with. But, you know, the Sharks were playing hard, and I give them a lot of credit, and you are in a difficult circumstance when you're not getting your offensive game going, when both goalies are on their game, you are looking for just some sort of a breakthrough. The Sharks didn't wilt at critical moments. Yes, Anaheim did score a goal, but that was not because the Sharks made, you know, terrible mistakes that put themselves at a deficit when they were on the kill or anything like that. That was a good, honest goal by the Anaheim Ducks, which gave them the opportunity to take the lead and eventually the win in this game. It was not because the Sharks were awful and mistake-ridden and doing, quote-unquote, the bad or wrong thing. They got beat. More from Nico Stern talking about a Sharks forecheck that was also effective in last night's game.
Yeah, I think it comes down to skating, willingness to skate. Forecheck is the hardest thing to do because it doesn't always reap an immediate, you know, reward for yourself. You're not always going to get the puck back. You're not always going to get scoring chances, but if you make a position, if you want to make their D turn every single time throughout the 60 minutes and get pucks back, and you go through them and you put them through the boards every single time, like I said, you might not reap the rewards in the first or second period, but as you go further down a stretch of the game, the third period, at some point you will get pucks back, and we have. I think every time we put pucks in behind them in a smart spot where the goalie can't get it, I think we've gotten the pucks back quite a bit these first two games, and it all comes down to effort.
And even though the Sharks have not walked away with wins out of these first two games, I think that he talks about the effort for a reason, because he does like the effort. I think that was something that you go back to where the Sharks were 2 years ago, a year ago, sometimes you didn't love the effort. And I don't mean to say that these guys aren't trying. I mean to say that the collective effort of the group, the focus, where that effort is pointed, I think is yielding better results than where it was previously. And these guys always work their tails off in professional sports. I know some people will talk about dogging it, and I get it. You're upset when there's a loss, but more than anything else, I think professional athletes don't want to get embarrassed. They want to go out there and play hard. They want to give themselves an opportunity to have success, because that's what got them to this point in their career. But you juxtapose that with all the losing, there's a mental toll that goes on as well. But I think that what we've seen from the Sharks so far this year, it does look like a more focused effort than what we saw previously. Let's hear from Mario Ferraro, who again kind of talks more on that focused effort that he saw from the Sharks.
Thought we played a good game overall. I thought we were pretty consistent through first, second, and third. Defensively, I thought we tied things up a lot from the first game of the season. I thought we didn't, you know, it was both ways. Both teams had their chances, but I really thought we did a good job of slowing down their speed and in our end. Just gotta find a way to score, finish our chances, but I'm pretty proud of our group for today. Obviously it sucks not getting the win, but you know, it was, last year our biggest problem was goals against, and we did a good job of preventing that. Now we just gotta find a way to score.
I think that if you looked at some of the ways the Sharks played over the past couple of seasons, even back to Bob Bugner, it was hard for them to find that collective identity of being able to be sound defensively without giving up too much offense, or being overly offensive and giving up some defensive positioning, which allowed them to be scored against at will, seemingly. And that's always the challenge. It's about finding that fine line. Now, when you have, you know, netminders like Vitek Vanacek having their A game, and same thing with Mackenzie Blackwood, when he's got his A game going, you are going to be able to be a little bit more offensive because you feel like your netminder can stop anything that's thrown at them. But the Sharks are still figuring that out. It is still that fine line of figuring where they are going to be. And it takes time. It's two games. There are 80 games remaining. The Sharks are still trying to figure out a lot of their identity for this season. I don't think you should be freaking out as of yet. Again, frustrating to not win either of the two home games, but there are 80 games overall remaining, and the Sharks have a lot of growth ahead of them. Mario also weighed in on the Sharks' forecheck, which he thought was effective throughout the game.
Yeah, I thought it helped us create some chances offensively. Just getting the pucks back, having the puck on our stick more times throughout the game, especially in the offensive zone. we found ourselves last year and in the past, just a lot of forechecks that turn into, you know, rushes against, just not coming up with the puck. And I think it just speaks to our identity today, how we play, just getting behind their D and pressing on them. And, you know, we played hard and we earned a lot of pucks back. Now we just got to find a way to finish our chances and sustain that zone time and get some goals. But, yeah, I thought the forwards did a really good job of pressing. We had a much better F3 today, which helped our D to be able to gap up. So, you know, forecheck was, it's going to be a big part of our game and our identity as a team. I think we did a good job of that tonight.
That talk of establishing an identity as a team was not as loud 1 and 2 years ago. I think the Sharks on the ice right now have a very clear idea of what they want to be, what they're striving to be, and what they can be. And I think that's very different than what we saw previously. And again, it's still a growth product. It's not going to happen tomorrow or overnight, but I think that there's just a bit clearer idea of what they are. And that's because there's more talent here. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but as much as we love coaches, as much as we love systems and schematics and tactics, it comes down to the talent that's out there on the ice. I mean, we talk about this in hockey. You talk about it in football. You talk about it in basketball. Like, who wins? LeBron James, Steph Curry, Pat Mahomes, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, this is not shocking when we talk about sports. Messi, Mbappe, right? Like, these are the premier talents. Yes, their coaches and the systems and tactics do the best job they can of maximizing these individual players' abilities. But, you know, are you surprised that the team with Connor McDavid, McJesus, is in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final? Are you surprised that Sidney Crosby is still going strong at an advanced age? Are you surprised that the Dodgers and their bloated, massive payroll are now in the National League Championship Series? Because I am not particularly. There was no guarantee, but yeah, if you have the talent, you put yourself in a better position to win, and right now the Sharks are just simply more talented than they were previously, which is allowing them to actualize the vision of what they believe they can be. Head coach Ryan Warsowski was asked if last night's game was the best 60-minute effort that he has seen in his time as head coach, obviously, which only consists of the preseason and now two NHL games, but it sounds like the head coach likes what he saw.
Did a lot of good things that we've talked about from the start of training camp, from yesterday. So our guys are you know, being paying attention, and they're, you know, starting to execute a little bit more. But in this league, one mistake will cost you a hockey game, so we got to continue to learn.
Wurzo also weighed in on the PK, which was the star of the night, other than Vitek Vanacek, in my opinion.
Yeah, PK was really good, kept us in the game in crucial moments, you know, in the third period, second period. I mean, whenever we were kind of had some momentum offensively, we would take a penalty, and our penalty kill stepped up. Doug does a great job.
And that was something I talked about out of game one against St. Louis, that in the critical moments of the game, that was where the Sharks faltered, where they didn't have their performance as high as it needed to be. In this game, yes, they did give up the one goal, but at the same time, I felt that at the various moments of the games where they needed to step up and be that much better than the opposition, the Sharks were, for the most part, able to do that. And that is what you have to do in this league, rise to the occasion, right? Like, if the game is setting itself up to where this is where things could be decided, that has got to be when you are playing your best hockey. And yes, the 5-on-5 goal that you give up, you don't love, but when you're at a more dire situation, when things are more critical, the Sharks did their job. So again, that penalty kill and that individual effort as the team tries to identify themselves in terms of finding their identity, it's something that right now that we can look to and say they're doing that. In those moments, they're stepping up. 6-for-6 on the PK so far. Here's one that I think everybody was interested in, and that is Macklin Celebrini not being out there tonight. What did Warzo think about that?
Now that guy stepped up. You know, obviously he's a really good player, but we're focused on the guys that are on the ice tonight.
That is the right answer that you've got to have from your head coach. Doesn't matter who is and who or is not out there on the ice. It's about the guys out there. I do think they stepped up, but also, in my opinion, the Sharks were not the same as they were offensively in that level of skill that we saw in Thursday night's game. All right, the Sharks are going out on the road now. On Tuesday, they are at Dallas. On Thursday, they are at Chicago. And on Friday, they are at Winnipeg before they're back home on Sunday the 20th to host the Avs. But we will see you Tuesday at 4:30, live pregame coverage ahead of the Sharks' 5 o'clock go time in Dallas. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.